Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations, galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
The thermostat is a very contentious male subject.
Oh, I listened for 25, you know, it was a good segment and a half on it. Yeah, I caught that.
I did not hear what was happening. What was happening with the thermostat?
Well, apparently there's a war.
Oh,
and we thermostat are just, war. We are just innocent bystanders of said war. You know why, Joe? Because nobody cares.
Yeah, we're the innocent villagers while the North and South Vietnamese duke it out.
Yep, we just happen to live after hours, you know.
Yeah,
when the war shuts down for the day, you know, we're the ones on the streets still.
We're just the innocent bystanders just trying to live our lives, and then 62-degree thermostat.
I know. We're only one.
Who's on what side? Is it?
Well, I guess the boys.
See,
the boys
as I just
morning,
walked into an igloo, I would assume that Suk is on the side of making this cold as effing possible.
That is true, and apparently the boys in the morning... Like it on the toastier side.
Which makes sense. You're coming in. It's already, you know, like mid-50s, low-50s when you're getting in. You want to warm up a little bit.
And so the afternoon job is to regulate.
Try and find that even middle. And that's still not good enough for Sue.
It's like hot when they get here, so they try to cool it down, and it's too hot when he gets here. That's what I learned.
No,
that's
the nutshell.
You don't even have to listen to the first half hour of primetime. I just gave it to you.
Even the cliff notes, like 10-second version.
Even the marble is cold. Like, do you feel it with your hands?
It is
the
cold.
Marble.
Yes.
It is cold in here.
What is going on?
You guys have actually a better problem in there than we do in here.
That place gets an oven.
Well, not only does it become an oven in here, but if it does become an oven, it gets stanky. Because the level of cleanliness in here by the dudes, and I'm one of them, so I guess I can't absolve myself of this, but it's gross. So
did you just admit that you're stinky?
I try not to be, and Rop has said, there is like, go back and find the segment of best smelling personalities on 1080 The Fan. I am one or two on that list. So no, I don't smell stinky, but the floor, the chair, I don't know, everything smells stinky in here.
Well, I will say.
Swag ain't going to be happy with that. That means people doing stuff in there that are against Swag's rules.
Well, Swag's got those old man coffee farts going on in there.
Oh, God.
He loves making chili, too.
Just
you know?
Straight black coffee farts.
He loves making chili, so you put some black coffee on top of it.
You know what?
And he's a no-bean chili guy, if my memory serves me
and
correct.
And also, I think I need to call out one Jason Swigard. I think he is a notorious...
You think he... Oh, I know where you're going.
Cat pervert?
No. A notorious dump out the coffee mug in the sink and then just leave dirty coffee mug in the sink and not put it in the dishwasher.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he's a crop duster.
Oh, well, I'd believe that too, but I mean, at his age, it kind of just seeps out, you know?
He's
you
not 90.
You can't really help it.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
That happened with my grandma all the time. She just wouldn't even realize. It would just start smelling in there and just be like, grandma!
She's like, what, Joe?
No, I think Swigard does not put his dirty coffee cups in the dishwasher, and then there's just like 20 of them at the end of the week, and he's nowhere to be found because he's out of here by like 9:30.
10 years doing this show, I don't think I've ever made a mess. I have not spilled on a keyboard. I have
never
not spilled on the board. I'm unbelievably clean.
You sound just like him right now, brother. Even without doing the accent, you're like, you know, I'm amazing at this.
Well, I think it helps that I'm in here, you know. There's a 365 days a year. What's that divided by seven?
So you got like
52.
What? Yeah.
I'm here maybe 52 times a year.
I was going to say, isn't there just.
I know, Joe. I figured that math out on my own.
Well, let's go like 45. So there's holidays, right?
I don't know. There's a holiday. But then I fill in sometimes. So that adds to the pile.
Okay, 54 weeks.
54 weeks in a year, 8 days a week.
Can I take a moment to shout out a listener, by the way?
You found him? You found the one listener of this show?
That's what I told him he was one of five.
Nice.
Because apparently your woman is one.
Apparently Suk is number six tonight.
At least for 15 minutes.
He said he was at least, no, it takes a little longer to get where he lives.
At least 15 minutes.
Traffic ain't pretty out there.
No, not tonight.
Wanted to shout out P1 Joel Anderson. It's not normal that people recognize you outside of the studio.
Yes.
But last Friday, I was actually up in your neck of the woods.
Hold the couve, baby!
With the highfalutin' folks, the high-income, high-rollers at Royal Oaks Country Club.
My father-in-law is a member at Royal Oaks Country Club.
Well, tell your father-in-law that I can say, nice shot, sir, with the best of them, okay? Hell of a drive, sir. I'm really good at doing that.
You clearly play often, sir.
What a shot, sir.
Can I clean your ball, sir?
Please let me clean your balls. But no, our boy Joel works out at the Eagle's Nest, which is like the snack shack after the fourth or fifth hole.
All right, I dig that. What up, Joel?
And I was buying a couple White Claws, and then I give him my card, and
he goes, are in Vancouver. There ain't no laws.
I go and get my card back, and he goes, do you listen to 1080 The Fan? I said, yeah, I'm on 1080 The Fan.
That's awesome.
I pulled a Patrick Harris.
I am 1080 The Fan. God, give me some tune-up on that.
And he's like, no way.
No effing way.
No effing way, bro. But he's the guy that wants us to come out and live broadcast.
From the snack shack?
Yes.
Bet your ass I will do that.
Dude, I told him, I was like, hey, it's not me going to convince. He was telling me they do a whole, like, glow-in-the-dark neon golf night or something like that.
Like cosmic golf?
Yeah, and it starts at 7 o'clock, and it happens on a Tuesday on some date, and he's like, and that's when your guys' show is.
Yes, dude, please.
As long as it's the Snack Shack, and we have Boss Man Cooley, resident Red Sox fans, card on file, and we just pull what we need to, and he scans them.
Sounds good to me.
If only I knew a sales guy that could pitch that.
Yeah, somebody can get that done for us, maybe. Eh?
I don't know. I think they went home for the day.
I'll talk to Johnny.
Yeah, send a
brethren.
Send an email.
Good Kurt. Moves. Kurt could get it done. Yeah,
I'll talk to Johnny.
Yeah, sounds good.
I'll talk to Johnny. He'll help me out.
Yeah, I wanted to give a shout out to old P1 Joel Anderson, who says he's usually 7-8 White Claws deep by the time he's listening to this program. Which I said that's the best time to listen.
Yeah, yeah. Amigo. Yeah. I get it. Every once in a while, it's really tough when you work in restaurants because it's always when you're like super busy and someone's like, hey, man, are you Patrick Harris? And I always respond with, no, sorry, who is he? Oh, he's on 1080 The Fan. He's a radio guy. You sound just like him.
I'm
like,
Patrick Paris.
Oh, is he any good? That's my favorite question to ask. Is he any good? And then you're kind of like, ooh. Mm-hmm. One guy was like, yeah, he's all right.
Yeah, honestly.
I was like, nice. I'll take it. Got it.
Yeah, I definitely, I don't think I would have normally responded like that. He's like, hey, do you listen to the 1080 The Fan? I'm like, yeah, I'm on 1080 The Fan.
Bruh. You were just so upset about that shot that sir hit to beat you.
How many White Claws deep were you when you answered that question?
That was zero. Those were my first two White Claws of the day. And then there were four birdies that were made in the round. So that's four shots of whiskey throughout the round as well. And in a transfusion.
Followed
by paper planes at the clubhouse.
We're going to have to back this up for a minute. So if you make a birdie, you take a shot?
We all take a shot.
Okay.
Everybody takes a shot with every birdie.
That's better.
Yes. So after the third.
I was worried. It was like, you did something well. Here, make yourself worse.
Yeah. No, it's everybody takes a pull. And after about the third birdie, I was like, I hope no one else.
Guys, just stop.
Can we? Yeah. No
just
more.
Just
please.
Yelling at them. Get into the hole!
We're done here. Okay. And then we got one more, and I'm like, all right, well, now we're really done.
What's the worst thing they yell at golf tournaments after the guy hits it?
What's the worst thing to yell?
That, like, you hear on the TV.
I mean,
I always hear, get into the hole! And it's like, bro, this is 460
One
yards,
of the most
man.
Epic ones my wife and I always quote feet. Is, light the candle. That was a Tiger one, like, light what, 15, 20 years ago? Light the candle.
There's another one
on
that,
this par five.
There's another one that 400 has
400 yards
around.
Of grass.
Light it!
There's a compilation that makes its way around Instagram from time to time, and there's one of the guys that yelled out, give me back my son!
Yes.
That's like, just doesn't even make sense, but yes.
Come to my birthday party!
Oh, that's a Mel Gibson callback right there, baby.
I think we got, you know, Baba Booey's always a good one. You know, that's a good radio callback right there. Yeah. So, got to give that some cred.
Oakley Doakley, well, we do have a baseball show for you tonight. Lots to actually to get to. The most overhyped thing in the history of baseball, potentially, according to Joe. I didn't look at it that way. So, we'll get into that. There's been some really nice player and manager ejections that I would like to talk to a little bit. Also, can you be really good and also be really bad? We'll get into that. But first, I'm so sorry, Joe. This is where we got to start. And it's not good, Joe, when we're in May and I'm saying, I'm sorry, Joe. This is where we have to start for the second time. Joe's O's next. Hot Corner, 10 in the Fan.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
Is that what we decided? The text line was a she? I feel like we brought this up like a week or so ago.
Potentially. I think I tend...
She's like a boat.
I think I tend to label non-gender-specific things women because I like women.
Non-anatomy or just non-sentient objects.
Yes. Yeah, like
well, this text line is sort of sentient.
It is kind of sentient.
Yes. Multiple personalities.
She is all over the place.
She is a mess.
There's also...
One minute she loves you, one minute she hates you.
Oh, really?
That
people
is
love
the
you?
That is the text
I
line.
Feel like that meme where it's, we are the Millers. I'm the guy at the bottom. He's like, people like you?
People actually like... Wait, people like you guys?
You get both comments? coming in from Greg on the YouTube, I hope to see Harris... I already screwed this up. I hope to see Hattrick Paris and Janiel Downs in person someday. Janiel Downs has to be the greatest name in the history of sports, in my opinion. Not to get too loose and sidetrack us too much. But I love Janiel Downs. It's like one of the most amazing things, candidly, I've ever heard.
Well, I will have to say that switching the first letters of your first and last name and realizing that it turns out to be Hattrick.
Hattrick. I actually did talk to Jane Jones.
Hattrick Paris. That's actually pretty cool.
See, I need him to say Daniel Jones the way they say LeBron James.
I actually did talk to Daniel Jones.
Like, I need some Daniel Jones.
And you forgot his name already. Okay. Good job, Malik Nabers.
Well, he doesn't have to anymore.
That's true.
It's like that line in Major League. This guy's dead. Well, cross him off then. Well, another domino, another hammer has fallen as another manager loses their job. I almost said loses their life. Loses their job. And this one is interesting because I feel it's a little to be expected, but a little premature, but also not his fault. And that would be Brandon Hyde was relieved of duties for Joe's Baltimore Orioles, who are just in an unbelievable, like, I'm not trying to pile on you, Joe. You know I'm very supportive of your O's. In a very, I would say, the story of the season, the fact that the worst team in the American League is the Chicago White Sox, and very, very near them are the Baltimore Orioles.
Only one win difference between the two.
I will start by saying that this is, in my opinion, a little bit of a BS move. And by a little bit, I mean, I think it's kind of a lot of BS move in Major League Baseball. I think you can maybe look at the manager and say, okay, Adley's not having a great start. Gunnar was hurt, so he's taking time to ramp up. But did Brandon Hyde let Santander walk? Did Brandon Hyde not sign a starting pitcher? Did he get Grayson Rodriguez hurt? I think that's a little, there's always a fall guy. But in this case, I don't know if Brandon Hyde was doing such poor of a job that he deserved to be a fall guy this soon.
Well, I had a feeling with their regression last year, halfway through the season, followed by back-to-back winless playoff performances by them.
The playoff performances are glaring.
That, and again, the way that the season ended last year, dude, was not good, and not in a playoff sense. They could not hit the last 2 to 3 months of the season. They were not a good baseball team.
And they can't hit these first two seasons.
No, and this is
2 months of the season.
We talked about this a couple weeks ago. What is the problem with this team? It's like it's a managerial problem, but it's also a player problem, and it's a front office problem. Like, Mike Elias, general manager of the Orioles, by getting rid of Brandon Hyde and openly admitting today, it was either today or the other day, that, yeah, I effed up in not getting the right starting pitching, and that our best pitcher is a 35-year-old rookie from Japan.
And our second best is a 43-year-old who's not having a good season.
And not even going to be on the roster here soon, I imagine.
Yeah.
Like, they brought Kyle Gibson up for like one or two starts, and then they already,
oh God.
And then they already cut him.
Like, oh God, we've seen this before.
But I think you're right in the sense that I had a feeling this was going to happen at either the end of the season or a little bit later, maybe like at the beginning of July or All-Star break.
We talked about it a couple weeks ago. I thought All-Star break.
But this season, it was going in such a wrong direction so quickly that I feel like it was almost like a la the Nuggets getting rid of Malone, mm-hmm. like the Grizzlies getting rid of Jenkins. It's like, let's try and do something to get a shot in the arm to try and turn this around now versus waiting and things not changing and getting different eyes on the lineup, on the bullpen,
the old cliche of you can't win a World Series in May, but you can lose it unless you're the Nationals in 2019.
Yeah, well, and coincidentally, I think it's at this point in the season, the Orioles, they're 16 games below 500.
I mean, that's the question. Is this season gone?
Yes, because there's literally been, this was the stat, no team that was 16
this
games,
bad.
This bad.
I mentioned those Nationals. They weren't this bad.
They never made the playoffs. A team with this many that was below 500 this much at this point in the season. So, yeah, the season's gone. Like, they would have to have a monumental resurgence. And when you have the starting pitching that they do, that's not going to happen. And
there's not much out there
But here's the other problem is that Mike Elias loves his approach because it worked so well in Houston, that stockpile a bunch of young talent.
Mm-hmm. And he's done that.
And he's done that with the Orioles. The thing is, he's held on to them.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many young guys on this team that he could have gotten rid of a few of them, and he just didn't. And it was almost one of those, like, I know each one of these guys.
Are you talking about guys like Colton Cowser, like dudes like that? Like, what kind of guys are you
like
talking
Herstad,
about?
Herstad like, yeah. is something that comes into mind. I know that Kobe Mayo is in the AAA that is, you know, someone that they could throw down. Samuel Basayo as well, even though I love him and he's just a huge bat, so I kind of don't want them to get rid of him.
I love Jordan Westberg. Don't give up on him, but I love him.
Westberg is who
Jordan
I was
Westberg,
thinking of,
but
not
he
Cowser.
Was a he was an all-star last year.
I think Cowher's on a 60-day right now, actually.
Yes, he is. And then you have some older talent where it's at Cedric Mullins and Ryan Mountcastle, where you felt like you couldn't get rid of them or didn't want to get rid of them.
Yeah.
I just feel like
Tyler O'Neill's been
well, that was an offseason signing. And actually, to Elias's credit, he spent the money. And that's not Hyde's fault. It's not Hyde's fault that Gary Sanchez is down. It's not Hyde's fault that Tyler O'Neill's hitting .180 or whatever the hell he is.
No. And that's why I think that I just think they saw Hyde as not being able to turn this around and that it was only going to get worse and that he had run his course, and it was like, thanks for rolling through the bad years and turning it into good years, but based off of what we've seen the last two playoff performances last year and the beginning of this year, we've lost faith in you being able to manage this team, and now it's on Mike Elias, as he's recognized his mistakes, to try and do something different, because hopefully that is a sign of growth and change, and also him recognizing, like, now that I fired him, we got rid of him, That it is now my responsibility to turn this around.
There's no new scapegoat
and
now.
And dude, I said it from the very beginning, and before the season even started, is that their starting pitching was not good enough.
No.
And then it doesn't help that
not just even in that division.
Well, and it doesn't help that Grayson Rodriguez went down with the injury. But again, it's like your offseason acquisitions pitching were Charlie Morton and Tomoyuki Sugano, which you're lucky hit, but you're wasting his efforts at this point.
And I don't think you can really blame him for not getting Corbin Burns. It felt like Arizona was going to do whatever it took to get him.
And you had a good season with Dean Kremer that you're banking that was going to happen again.
Did you see the quote from Sean Manaea?
Oh, yeah, that they didn't even
talk to him.
Yeah,
did Baltimore talk to you? He was
like,
no, absolutely not, which I thought was strange.
Yeah.
You can read as a little arrogant, but also, like, there wasn't much out there outside of Max Fried and Corbin Burns.
Someone else made
everybody outside of that was quote unquote affordable. And that's kind of what I'm getting to. That's my biggest fear. My biggest concern with the direction that this is heading is that Elias stockpiled all this talent and he's worked to build a nucleus. And now you have new owners. And is this one of the classic, you know, is this what's going on in Phoenix in the NBA? Is this one of those things? Is this what's going on in Carolina in the NFL? Is this one of those things where you get owners that come in that have no idea what they're doing and step on their toes? You know, is this whatever the hell's going on in Dallas? Although everything seems to be okay now that, you know, they like the Duke kid. But that's what concerns me. Is this another case of new owners stepping into baseball and wrecking something that was, you know, maybe not process the way we wanted it to be, but don't turn the process into like the Sixers process, which is what this could easily turn into. You know, if Gunnar Henderson blows out his knee next year, how different is Baltimore than the 76ers?
Well, I'll tell you this, is that I don't think it's a ownership problem usually.
Well, that's good. I'm glad. That's why I wanted to ask you.
Well, there's a source that said, a source close to the front office, that David Rubenstein has expressed willingness to spend, and that's usually how a new owner is. Like,
that's what you want.
Like, I just spent $2 billion. Like, what's
let's about? Send some more.
Let's do this.
But I'm worried that it's like they've had such a bad start that he's the one that's like, dude, it's Hyde. I didn't hire this guy. I don't know this dude. Get him out of here. Mostly because I think Hyde is going to get a job next year.
I mean, I don't know where.
I mean, it's not going to be a good job, but Pirates would love to have him. He's a great manager.
The Pirates are used to not scoring more than four runs. So,
And if it's not the Pirates or the Rockies, but somebody's going to get left out of the playoffs, okay? Or if it's not this year, let's say the Diamondbacks miss the playoffs this year and next year. Torey Lovullo, gone. In comes Brandon Hyde.
Well, this is what kills me, and this was a tweet
a place
from,
like that.
This was a tweet from Aaron Gleeman, who is a writer for The Athletic. He covers the Twins, but he had a tweet about the Orioles, and it sums it up, the frustration of this team and their unwillingness to spend. He says, Orioles went through a full-on rebuild, including 300 lost seasons, just to come out the other side and spend less on payroll than they did a decade ago. And that's the thing, is that when you get a good team, it's like, all right, you can either pull the Rays approach and just try and work the hell out of this franchise and the amount of money you can spend, being that you are Tampa Bay, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or when you have this much young talent and you are a perennial AL East contender and you have the talent to acquire stars, whether it's via trade, but also a new owner who's willing to spend, like, then spend. And the fact that you didn't is just very frustrating as a fan.
And the holding on to talent is
another
little
frustrating thing. Like, I love all of our guys. I love our young nucleus. But at a point, too, it's just kind of like, dude, you could probably combo a few of these guys together with some, you know, whatever prospects that we're not even on our radar.
Oh, I think there's a lot of people in the 206 up north that would agree with you on that.
Yeah, I've been saying it for like almost a year now. I'm like, dude, we'll make a trade to the Mariners to take one of their arms.
Yeah, take Wu, Miller, Kirby.
We got some young talent. Yeah. We're willing to give you.
And you got bats, too, you know? Like, would you give up the big bat kid you said you got in the minors?
You got Kerstad. You can do
Samuel
Jordan
Basile. Would you give up Basile for Wu?
A lot of Mariners fans have mentioned Mayo as somebody that could be included in a deal like that.
You know, would you give up Kobe Mayo for Bryce Miller?
Maybe
not right now.
Well, with the starting
check
pitching,
that elbow.
With starting pitching the way it is for this team, it's just like our video guy Jake out there. He was asking me what makes you more mad as a fan: a team that can't hit but can pitch really well, or a team that can't pitch but can hit really well?
Well, I don't know. I'm a Cleveland fan.
And I'm a Mariners fan. I would say pitching success.
I've had since 2000, there's like six Cy Youngs in Cleveland.
And I was saying to him, like, it drives me nuts when great pitching performances are wasted.
It's really tough.
So I'd rather have a really good offense.
It costs guys Hall of Fame.
Yes. But so I'd rather
Never made the playoffs.
I'd really have a good hitting team and win 11-8, then lose 3-1. And so
I kind of like the 3-1 games.
But when you don't have either,
more in the postseason, though.
And the starting pitching is as bad as it is, it makes you think, just like, dude, if we can't score, I might as well give us a chance with good starting pitching.
Yeah.
That and that's what's frustrating.
I mean, it's how, like, you know, as a fan of my team, you know, not to circle back and shoehorn my squad in, but I'm going to do that right now. But we're in the ALCS, and we're a couple bozo plays away from potentially being in the World Series last year. And is our lineup the Yankees? No, God no. But that pitching staff looked better than they did. And that went in the regular season on a Monday night in May. On a Thursday afternoon in August, it might not be sexy baseball to win 3-1. But in October, boy, that feels real nice because everyone you're playing's got a team.
Well, that has been the Orioles' problem when we get to postseason.
But you're not even getting that three right now.
But their first game starters, it does not strike fear in the opponent at all.
I mean, to your guys' point, though, there was really nobody outside of going to pay Corbin Burnes, get a freed. You want to pay Blake Snell a bunch of money? I mean, that was literally their only option.
None of them felt available.
And nobody wants to trade a Luis Castillo either. So what do you do as the Orioles?
You get Charlie Morton at the age of 58.
Oh, brutal.
Well, yeah, that's
brutal.
Or Justin Verlander. Does Nick Pavetta ruffle your skirt this offseason?
Nick Pavetta might have ruffled my skirt a little bit.
I bet you I could look up all
only 'cause of a soft
starting
breeze.
Pitching signings from free agency and come up with probably at least 10 guys
that
realistically could have gone after.
I'd have kicked the curb. I'd have kicked the tires on Jack Flaherty again. I'd have kicked the tires on Walker Buehler. I would have called Miami about Sandy, although he's having an awful year, but I would have asked.
Severino, maybe?
Severino, Sean Manaea, Clay Holmes. Yeah, I guess more and more you think about it, the more and more options there are. All right, this will be fascinating to keep an eye on, and let's see what the Orioles might now be the most fascinating team for the trade deadline, which is in 2 months.
Well,
but this might be one of the more fascinating teams to see what they do, because they got problems.
I don't know what the point is anymore.
Sell.
Joe's giving up. All right, when we come back, let's keep Joe fired up. Is it overblown when you hit one that you think is gone and don't run? We'll get to that next, but first we'll toss it to Schultzy with sports.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
Yeah, I'm going to Vegas in 2 weeks, so I'll miss the show in 2 weeks.
Are you missing a show because of Idaho? Or
No. I leave for Idaho tomorrow, but I'll be back on Tuesday.
Yeah, tomorrow, eh?
Yeah, I leave tomorrow. If I don't return, tell everybody I hate them.
We'll survive the sick rapids, bro.
Sam's gonna shred the Narva on the ways, bro. We're coming back on Monday, but the wife and I don't work Monday and don't need to be anywhere till Tuesday at 6:58 p.m. So I was
as
like,
they say, man, don't flip the boat unless you got a life jacket.
that is what they say. I've lived that. Instead of driving 7.5 hours home on Monday, we're going to split it up. And I was like, yo, babe, where do you want to go? You want to go to Walla Walla, hit some vino country?
Yeah.
And she said, you know what? I've never been to Pullman, Washington.
You're like, hand me that fresh pair of underwear back there, please. Give me a towel.
So I'm taking my wife, my smoking hot wife, my wife, to Pullman, Washington.
Nice, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Taking her back to the frat?
No, thank God, no.
I am a legend here, okay?
Yeah, right? I'm so glad I'm not that guy. So glad I'm
See
not that guy.
See me up on that wall right there?
Delta Phi, baby!
God. Hottest chick I ever got. I mean, a little bit of Sigma Nu. I got very lucky that, I went to community college first.
Not going
to
lie.
So I missed the whole, like, recruitment pitch.
I did, too, my first couple of years. I'm not going to lie. I kind of want Joey to be a frat, bro.
Why?
Because I think it would be funny.
I think it raises the
I think I'd make fun of him a lot.
I think it raises the opportunity to for him to be a loser, Joe.
I think it would just be funny whenever I'd see him be like, so, how the boys doing?
How the boys? Beta, baby.
And also just the frat shenanigans too. Like, I saw a video of these guys at a frat, and they were having like a memorial service for their dead goldfish.
Yeah, like that stuff's fun.
And there was like, it was like 50, no, I think it was like, they also invited a sorority, and there was like 100 people deep.
Yeah.
For a full-blown like that, funeral memorial service for Bubbles or whatever his name was.
Yeah, that stuff's fun. I'm just more worried about the underage over-consumption and illegal nefarious things that go on during those parties.
I
wouldn't want number four to get involved with that.
He'll be in the good frat.
He'll be in the good frat.
Where
the
they're
nerd
just,
frat.
They're just hitting the books.
Be the nerd frat.
Just hitting the books.
The nerd frat. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll get into some funny little things that I've seen about people being ejected over the last few weeks. But Joe, this seems to be the story that is dominating the headlines here in Major League Baseball.
I want to talk about nerds.
And you could care less. Yesterday, should have been double was hit off the Green Monster by Juan
debatable.
Soto, and
he could have gotten gunned out too.
He could have. I watched Vientos barely make it to second today, and Juan Soto did not hustle out of the box, thus did not have an attempt at a single off. And the argument is that the ball was, he thought it was gone. I thought it was gone.
Yeah, I thought too.
I thought it was gone.
I probably would have done, and that's the thing. I would have done the same thing. I'd have been like, "Oh, dude, I
oh,
have
baby,
crushed
over
that.
The wall."
Yeah, take a couple steps, because and then you realize, "Oh, ass."
Because it's still, if you get it like just over the wall, it's still only like a 375-foot home run. But when you hit it over the wall, you're like, I hit it over the wall."
Another reason why that big dumb green wall in left field is stupid to begin with. I don't care how old it is. No. And the tradition or whatever the hell.
But I think this whole thing was exacerbated by the fact that Carlos Mendoza was asked about it and kind of didn't stick up for Juan Soto.
No.
Kind of threw shade at Juan Soto, thus making this a bigger deal than Joe would like.
And I don't know if even the quote was that bad. He was just like, yeah, I'll talk to him about it. You know, you want to usually get out of the box a little bit quicker. And then people are like, he's not hustling. I'm like, dude, okay.
He got his bag. He doesn't care. I cannot believe that he did not even try.
Like, we have all seen the plays of guys where it is like a grounder in between shortstop and third, and it's like, dude, if you run your ass off,
you might get it.
And then it flips over and the guy's jogging down the first baseline, and you're like, that's not hustling. That is not hustling to me.
On the flip side, I also watched two guys in the Cincinnati and Pirates game today slip out of the box after hitting ground balls because it was pouring rain. Please don't ask why I was watching Cincinnati-Pittsburgh.
Well, have you noticed that?
Oh, I know why.
I had Nick Martinez on the bump.
Hey, your boy Tito, come on.
Because there was nothing else on. No, have you noticed that there's like no willingness to pull guys off the field in rain this year? Like, it was raining down in San Diego. Mariners and Padres played a full nine. Like, rain pretty much throughout the game.
But rain in California is different than rain in Cleveland. Like, if you're trying to play a baseball game in the Midwest today, good luck.
But they're letting them slip, and they just still let it go? Like, that's surprising to me.
Not in Cleveland. We protect players.
I feel like, basically, I just feel like this is something for non-baseball fans to talk about and care about.
It does feel a little like it does feel a little national media grasping at straws,
yeah,
because the guy makes $800 million.
Yeah, which like
$765 or
and I
it
think
is.
That it's easy to be like, hey, highest paid baseball player, highest
not
paid
very hustling,
didn't run. Oh my god, I work 16 hours a day in a construction site.
You know, Shohei only makes $2 million a year. I see him hustle. Just saying.
Yeah. Now, what I will say is that people that pay attention to baseball, what should be of concern is that he particularly isn't hitting the ball well.
He's incredibly average.
He's not scoring guys that are in running position. I think I saw his average with runners in scoring position.
It's below 200.
Like, yeah, it's like 170 or something.
I think that's the biggest concern. And actually, Mendoza actually alluded to that. He was like, I think he's just frustrated because he's not hitting well right now. But there's also, again, I don't want a national media grasp at straws, but I do feel like there's a little bit of something potentially going on here. Like, I'm doom scrolling Reddit last night, and someone's sharing a tweet from Jeff Passan saying, I just want to confirm that there is no issue between the Mets and Soto about flying privately and not with the team. And my thought is just kind of like, well, I didn't even know that was a thing, but you're telling me it's not a thing, but that's the first I've heard of it, so is it a thing? So again, I don't know if that's let's put all the scrutiny on the high price player in the high price market, or if maybe maybe he isn't happy.
What also kills me is this recent trend.
Yankee fans sure didn't make him happy.
Well, that's what I was
you
about
to. You see them all turn their backs on him?
Yes, that was. Right field. There was part of me that was kind of funny, but also
the bleacher creatures can. There's a cold place in hell for those losers.
But also,
but that I kind of liked that.
It was funny, but it's like, dude, he was there for a year. Like,
did take him to a World Series.
Yeah, like
pretty damn good.
Whatever. And then whatever. What kills me on Twitter though is that apparently the new dig at Juan Soto is that he hasn't shown any emotion as a Mets player, and that they show highlights of him like hitting a home run as the Yankees. He's like, has he even shown an ounce of this with the Mets? He clearly doesn't care about playing.
Have
for
you
the
even
Mets
said
like he
thank
does for the
you.
Yankees? I'm like,
you're lucky you're here, bro.
I'm like, dude, they have like the basically.
If our owner didn't make money by manipulating this American economy and the stock market, you wouldn't even be here.
They are literally a half game outside of the best record in the National
I know,
League.
I know.
Like, I think he's like, as far as team and enjoying his team, I think he's doing fine.
Also,
he's just struggling a little bit.
Also, look, Juan Soto is not the leader of your team. He wasn't when he was in New York. He wasn't in San Diego. He's not in New York. In New York, that's Frankie Lindor written all over it, and Pete Alonso. Yeah. And not just because they're the best players, but in when he was in San Diego, dude, Manny Machado runs that
and
team.
And also, Pete Alonso very much also did the same exact thing Juan Soto did the other day of hitting a ball.
Yeah, I saw that one, too.
In a deep left where he thought it was gone and started doing his trot to first base, and it was caught.
But
and
he don't make 765.
No.
But in dumb,
he might.
In dumb fans' defense, it is the highest paid guy on the team that's supposed to be the heartbeat, right? The heart.
They
the
have
soul,
the third
the
best record in the National League.
No. I get that, but you don't see him leading anything. He any of the stat categories, you look at it, he's in the middle. Like, so what do you expect from a guy that just got the highest contract in baseball history, the highest production you've ever seen? At least as a general fan, I understand why they're kind of crying and pissed at him. It makes somewhat sense.
I mean, I think you have a decent point there, but, you know, it took Frankie Lindor a couple years to figure it out in New York, and I think he's got it figured out right now.
Well, you love, dude, you would let Frankie Lindor sleep with your wife, all right?
Oof.
You would.
I don't have to. My wife sleeps in a Frankie Lindor t-shirt jersey that says Cleveland Indians on the front, baby. That's best of both worlds. She's looking fine in that shirt, too.
Also, for what it's worth, he does have the second highest WAR on the team behind Pete Alonso,
he's fine.
Who is having an unreal season.
I'm with you. All he's right. Fine.
What, he's WAR fine. Is not important?
WAR is good, but it takes fielding into account, and it does.
And his fielding sucks.
But he's still, I don't know. The WAR is not a complete stat.
Actually, and that's his batting WAR, so it doesn't even take
him. Oh, there you go.
In
okay.
fact,
well,
his D-WAR.
Well, he's walking a lot then, I assume?
His dwarf. Well, he's walking a lot like he always does, because that's what I've always loved about him, is the dude has one of the best eyes of the
baseball. That's why he makes $765 million.
Yeah.
He's got one of the best eyes, if not the best eyes in baseball.
Yeah, he's got a 380 on-base percentage.
Yeah, that is very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. For a guy not hitting well and you're still 380 on base, that's pretty damn good. All right, we got a big...
He has 38 walks this year.
That's great.
Got to be leading the league, right?
I wouldn't be surprised if it was, or at least top five.
When we get to the second hour, there's teams that are streaking, teams that are losing, plus we're up fair or foul. But before we do that, I'd love to kind of have a little fun, even though we've already been kind of messing around a lot today. I'd like to have a little fun with some managerial and player ejections that I've noticed over the last few days and weeks, including a saucy one from today at Fenway. There's more coming. That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris, 1080 The Fan. I want to kind of have a little fun with a little bit, because, like, we're in baseball. Like, I got a list of things we could talk to, but, like Joe and I have been trying to talk about if Max Scherzer's done for, like, 3 weeks, and it just keeps getting pushed. But he's still on the roster, so we can talk about that
later.
He's
still on IL, so.
Yeah. I did like the coin flip thing, though.
I'm unfamiliar.
The ref was the umpire was having a rough day behind the mound.
One of many.
Just very, very inconsistent strike zone. I don't even remember who was behind the mound, but it cuts over to Max Scherzer, who's at the end, like laying on the banister there of the dugout, and he's miming flipping a coin.
Wow.
And checking to see if it's a ball or strike.
That's pretty good.
Heads, strike. Love it.
But some things that I want to share with you, friends, today are some things that I have gotten a really good kick out of. I don't remember if it was this week or if it happened last week. I don't remember if we talked about it. If we did, it's worth bringing up again. Torey Lovullo had an ejection that's one of my all-time favorite ejections. If you didn't see this, he gets tossed a few games ago, maybe a week or so, maybe 2 weeks ago. And he's running out there and he's yelling at the umps, just really red-assing on these guys' case. They toss him and he's yelling at all of them. And then in the grandiose move, he points at each umpire standing there, tosses them, and then gives like an around the world, all of you guys.
F you, you're cool.
Don't think that's been done since Lloyd McClendon did it with the Mariners.
It was so good. That's cool. Like, you point at each dude.
I'm not ejected. You're ejected.
Yeah, you point at each dude and then you toss. That one was really great. Another good one that I saw the other
I love
day.
Love the highlight or the headline on this. Torrey Lavolo ejected 7 umpires on this play. Yes, it is an MLB ejection record.
It's great. My other favorite I saw was Mike Schilt the other day when Fernando Tatis got tossed at the plate. Tatis is at the plate, and he takes 2 strike calls. The second, they're really bad. The second one is the third strike, and he's there looking. It's way outside. It's not a good call. And the rumor on the street is that Tatis leaned into the umpire after striking out and said, "You're not invited to my birthday party anymore." And the umpire said, "You're gone," and tossed him.
I hope that's true.
Which God, led, I really hope which that. Led Mike Schilt out of the dugout, who's got a clipboard in one hand, a pen in the other.
He don't take no Schilt, all right?
He's got a pen in one hand, a clipboard in the other. He tosses the pen to the side. He tosses the clipboard to the side.
He's sopping wet.
Then he takes his glasses off and tosses them to the side on the ground, then gets in the ump's face, and 10 seconds later is tossed. I love it. I absolutely love it. And I think the NL West is really getting into something fun this year just on the field. And if you throw in, you know, Schilt being crazy and Lavolo being a red ass, Melvin will get after it. You know Melvin will get after it.
I've loved the thought of Melvin ejection or two over the years.
I am very, very excited about that. It warms my heart.
Wasn't the Schilt thing, too, because he does such a good job at controlling his dugout? I think I remember the lip reading. He's like, "We're one of the best in the league at controlling our emotions, and you're out here not even letting me come out to protect my guy." Like, he chewed him out. I think the only thing that needed to happen was either a dirt kick or, like, flipping the hat around backwards.
Dude, he threw his glasses on
my
the ground.
God.
Like, nonchalantly. Are you looking for it, Joe?
Oh, I've seen the video already, but it had been, like, about a week or two since then, so I'm looking back. It just kills me that he is just soaked also, because it was raining super hard that game. Like, I don't know why that cracks me up, but that's just like he is just full of piss and vinegar and rainwater. Like, his jersey is just soaked brown, and yeah, he is not happy though.
And then today there was a good one. If you were watching Mets Red Sox at all.
Dude, those potty mouths in Boston.
Dude, Walker Buehler hits Frankie, who goes to first. Frankie then steals second, and as Buehler throws the pitch, the catcher kind of makes it clear, like, "I'm going to throw." Juan Soto backs out of the box, and I don't know who the catcher is for the Red Sox. I don't care. I'll ask Cooley. He knows all those guys. He throws to second, doesn't get Frankie. Frankie's safe. But the pitch that Buehler threw is down the pipe. It is gas down the pipe, and the ump calls it a ball. So after Frankie's called safe at second, the umpire puts up his hand, says it's a ball, and Walker Buehler melts down. He's yelling, "That was right down the bleeping plate, right down the bleeping plate." And the umpire says, "Hey, you need to walk back to the mound." And Walker Buehler looks at him and goes, "F you." And he goes, "And you're gone." Like, you so can good. See it on the, like, when you watch the replay, they're going to keep showing it. He points at him and he literally just says, "F you," and walks off the mound, walks off the field. Absolutely fantastic. Cora goes out there and says some things and he gets tossed, but Cora's a loser.
You know, I think what just needs to happen permanently going forward is managers are mic'd up, and as soon as we see them leaving the dugout, we flash a little, like, advisory warning on the screen.
Hide your kids, hide your wife.
Parental advisory is suggested for this next managerial umpire meeting.
We really...
And then we throw it up, mic's on, so that way we can hear the whole thing. Come on, let's go European with it. They show boobs on TV all the time, right?
We really need to advertise that as a main part of the game. Seriously.
That'd be so great.
Spit on that thing.
Ratings would just skyrocket.
I swear, I feel like we should in the system somewhere have that Terry Collins ejection.
Where you have to give us a chance. We're fighting out there, and you gotta give us a chance.
Why not? And we'll be done nothing about those guys.
Oh, so dude.
Good. So good.
Or Noah Syndergaard. I'm just trying to throw an effing fastball. You lying son of a bitch.
I love it. I love it so much. All right, we come back. Loaded second hour coming up. We'll dive into teams that are streaking, and teams are struggling. What do you believe? What do you not believe? Plus fair or foul at the bottom of the hour. That's Schultzy on the ones and twos. This is the Hot Corner. Today in the Fan.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign. No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
So, I got one for you, boss.
Oh, yeah?
What's black, white, and dented all over?
I give up.
The company truck. I know, but thanks to our agent, we've already submitted an insurance claim and can track the status right from the app. Auto owners pays what they owe without any hassle.
Lucky for you, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.